Okay, we will get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Amito Fo. Namo Amito Fo. Namo Amito Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavanta Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated and turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onwards. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya macchapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now you chant the padipa puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena โตเปนาหังสุกังหินาปุจายาปุจานิยังตังปุจาปัจจานะโมเตมังวันนากันนาโกนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันตตินปุจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปุเจมิพุทธังกสุเมนะเนนะเนนะมัตเตนะชะโหตุโมคังปุปังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเทปานิยังปริกาปิตังอานุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเทปาเลปาริกาปิตังอานุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตโบจานังปริกาปิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตมัง Okay, now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of all the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light.May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind.Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma,so that we will diligently strive on with faithfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya,leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of its offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings.May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple J. Bedang Pujayami.Dhammang Pujayami Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, let us rejoice with the offering from heart. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, I may need to light back one candle. One of the candles will end off. Okay. Okay, we are off the light. Then you can have half an hour of silent meditation. Testing, 1, 2, 3, yeah, okay. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away go into the meditation. For those who still need to stabilize your sati or mindfulness, you just do whatever you need to do. And for those who still need to develop the sati, you can use the mind sweeping method followed by metta. Then combine with anapanasati to stabilize the sati develop. So any of this you can do. By now most of you should be able to immediately go into the meditation straight away. For some, maybe you need to relax and silent and let the whatever thinking continue. It's for a while, it will slow down. Then you just relax, maintain awareness. The original state of mind, which is the silent mind, the stillness of mind, will return. That is your meditative mind. Then stay with the silent. Use it to meditate. Use it to develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. Our physical body has the senses, the 5 senses with the brain, the 6. So the common denominator is always the mind. So once the awareness is there, the meditative mind is there, you will be able to be aware of whatever that goes on within the thought process of consciousness, the second aspect of the 5 aggregate of form and mind. The moment the contact arises, then the 7 universal will go into as a content of consciousness. But initially it's just the awareness together with the 7 universal. Then after that, you will input the content. When the content goes in, the other aggregates of mind will be there. Feeling and perception are part of the 7 universal. But the mental activity, the mental states that goes in, together with the Sankara movement. So if it's born of memory, which is normally your conditioning, and before you become enlightened, this memory will arise as wrong thought with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. But you have developed some form of contemplative wisdom or constantly listening to the Dhamma, then the initial wisdom can come by and help you. The initial wisdom maybe can help you to minimize your wrong thought, your delusion. Then you will have less of this heedless thinking. Then you can maintain the quietness, the silence more and more, more and more. Then you will have more space between thought. And this will lead to your ability to be just aware without any thought movement. But since your senses are open, it will detect. So when it detects, what you can do is you just aware, finish. No need to move further. Just maintain awareness. Then also your heartbeat, because it's there, you just stay with it and maintain the awareness, just aware, until the heartbeat also slow down. Yeah, whatever that arises, just maintain awareness. Then everything will just slow down. Yeah. When you are just aware, you don't think, you don't create mental states. That's why you will be more calm and more peaceful. And after a while, the whole thing will become so quiet, you enter into stillness. Yeah. Then the time easy to meditate. You can develop a lot of understanding. Mm. Okay, now I let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell after the half an hour is up. simply come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness or mindfulness that you have developed, and make use of this state to go into the daily mindfulness so that your sati sampajana can be stabilized. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the devas and deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkadam Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho. Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati tadeva manusanam buddho bhagavati. Svakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabhu vinohiti supatipano bhagavato savaka sangho ujupatipano bhagavato savaka sangho yaya patipano bhagavato savaka sangho samichi patipano bhagavato Savaka Sango Yadidam Chatari Purisa Yukani Ta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sango Ahuneyo Huneyo Dakeneyo Anjali karaniyo anutarang punya ketang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripajam. Badang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay. You all can be seated. Then we will continue from where we stop. I think we are at chapter 26, Modes of Rebirth and Death. We are at page 434. Page 434, Natural death due to old age may be classified under that category. There are different planes of existence with varying age limit. Irrespective of the karmic force that has yet to run, one must, however, succumb to death when the maximum age limit is reached. If the reproductive karmic force is extremely powerful, the karmic energy materializes itself in the same plane, or as in the case of Deva, in some higher realm. The simultaneous exhaustion of the reproductive karmic energy and the aspiration of the lifetime, they call it Upayakaya. So this one, for those who are maybe have better karmic condition, they can live to the end. It's either normally the exhaustion of karmic reproductive karmic energy, when your karmic force no more, you will go. The other one is expiration of the life term, means your body. Your body also about to break down. So if you can simultaneously reach both, means you are very blessed. Otherwise, your karmic force still very strong, but your body no longer can take it. So because of that, you also have to die or separate. Then sometimes the body is still strong, but the karmic force has to stop because for various reasons, the supportive karma cannot continue. Then they call the destructive karma come, so it will end your life. Then the fourth one is the opposing action of a stronger karmic or karma, unexpectedly obstructing the flow of the reproductive karma before the lifetime expires. So this is destructive karma. It suddenly comes. Sudden, untimely death of person and the death of children are due to this cause. A more powerful opposing force can check the path of a flying arrow and bring it down to the ground. So a very powerful karmic force of the past is capable of nullifying the potential energy of the last thought process and may thus destroy the psyche life of the being. The death of Venerable Devadatta, for instance, was due to the destructive karma which he committed during his lifetime because he caused Sikhism to the Sangha. The first three are collectively called timely death, Kala Marana, and the fourth one is known as untimely death, Akala Marana. And page 435, this one is the same as the analogy I gave you all last time. An oil lamp, for instance, may get extinguished only to any of the following four causes, namely the exhaustion of the wick, the exhaustion of the oil, or simultaneous exhaustion of both the wick and the oil, or some extraneous caused by a gust of wind. So this is quite similar. So may death be due to any of the foregoing four causes. explaining thus the causes of death. Buddhism states that there are four modes of birth, namely egg-born, andaja, womb-born, jalabuja, moisture-born, sambuddhaja, and four, being born spontaneous birth, upapatika. This broad classification embraces all living beings. So basically, there are just these four modes of birth. The most common one is, I think, the last one, spontaneous birth. Egg-born and womb-born, I think these are not many. Then there's another one, moisture-born. This broad classification embraces all living beings. Birds and oviparous snake belong to the first division. They are born from the egg. Even our chicken and all those things. The womb-born creature comprise all human beings, some devas inhabiting the earth, and some animals that take conception in the mother's womb. Embryo using moisture as needles for their growth, like certain low form of animal life, belong to the third class, moisture-born. Beings having spontaneous birth are generally invisible to the physical eye. Conditioned by their past karma, they appear spontaneously without passing through the embryonic stage. Petas and devas normally, and brahmas belong to this class. That's why they have the most numbers, especially petas. There's a lot of petas and a lot of devas, but brahma less. Oh, so fast we finish chapter 27 already. Chapter 27 is plane of existence. This one we know. There are 31 planes of existence. And Mahayana reclassify into six. They call it the Liu Dao Lun Hui. So the six rhymes, they come about because the first rhyme, they call it the heavenly rhyme, Tian Fa Jie. So this Tian include the devas, the Brahma, and the formless rhyme. That's why that one covers the major portion of the 31 plane. They are the four formless rhyme, 16 Brahma rhyme, so 20, and the six deva rhyme, 26, plus the 5, 31. So the five are the human rhyme, plus the four woeful state. The four woeful state, they are the demon rhyme. Demon rhyme, followed by animal rhyme, then followed by peta, then hell rhyme. So total 31. So chapter 27, I read through, planes of existence. Not to be rich by going is world's end. According to Buddhism, the earth, an almost insignificant speck in the universe, is not the only habitable world, and humans are not the only living beings. Indefinite are world systems, and so are living beings. Nor is the impregnated ovum the only route to rebirth. By traversing, one cannot reach the end of the world, says the Buddha. So the universe is too immense. Birth may take place in different spheres of existence. There are always 31 planes in which beings manifest themselves according to their moral or immoral karma. There are four states of unhappiness, apaya. Apaya means the hell rhyme, which are viewed both as mental states and as places. They are the niraya, devoid of happiness. That's why the hell rhyme, totally no happiness one. Devoid of happiness are woeful states where beings atone for their evil karma. They are not eternal hell, which beings are subject to endless suffering upon the exhaustion of the evil karma, there is a possibility for beings born in such states to be reborn in better states. Actually, the word should be better states, as a result of their past good action. Then the next of the four apaya or the woeful rhyme is Tirachana Yoni. Tiro means across. Achana means going, the animal kingdom. Buddha's belief is that beings are born as animals on account of evil karma. So if you are born as animal, the predominant evil root is ignorant, delusion. There is, however, the possibility of animal to be born as human being as a result of good karma accumulated in the past. Strictly speaking, it should be more correct to state that karma which manifests itself in the form of human beings may manifest itself in the form of an animal or vice versa, just as an electric current can be manifested in the form of light, heat and motion successively. One not necessarily being evolved from the other. It may be remarked that at times certain animals, particular dogs and cats, live a more comfortable life than even some human beings due to their past good karma. So this one I think we have seen. Some of the pets, they are being groomed. They even have special pet hotel where they really send them when the owner wants to groom them. Sometimes they even shampoo them then do up all the styling, the hair. They also dye the hair. Then they dress them up so nicely. These are the animals that have good karma when they were human beings. It is one's karma that determines the nature of one's material form, which vary according to the skillfulness and unskillfulness of one's action. Then the third of the apaya rhyme, the wolf rhyme, is petayoni. Actually, petayoni is just before hell. The animal rhyme actually is higher than petayoni. These are departed beings or those absolutely devoid of happiness. They are not disembodied spirits or ghosts. They possess deformed physical form of varying magnitude, generally invisible to the naked eye. They have no plane of their own, but live in forests, dirty surroundings, etc. There is a special book called Petavatu. So this one, if you have interest, you can go and read about it. Which exclusively deals with the story of these unfortunate beings. Samyutta Nikaya also relates some interesting account of these petas. Describing the pathetic state of a peta, the Venerable Moggallana said, "Just now as I was descending Vulture's big hill, I saw a skeleton going through the air and vultures crossing from falcons kept flying after it, pecking it at its ribs, pulling it apart while it uttered cries of pain. To me, friend, came this thought, oh, but this is wonderful. Oh, but this is marvelous that a person will come to be such a shame, that an individuality acquired will come to have such a shape. This being," the Buddha remarked, "was a cattle butcher. That's why he will kill cow, butcher. Your coming is very bad in his previous life. And as a result of his past karma, he was born in such a state. According to a question of Milinda, there are four kinds of peta, namely Vatasika, who feed on vomit, then the Kupi Pasina, Pasino, who hunger and thirst. Then there is this Nijama Tahika who are consumed by thirst. And the Paradat too, Pajivino, who live on the gift of others. As stated in the Therakuda Sutta, this one is what they call departed one, in spirit form, Therakuda Sutta. This last mentioned Peta shares the merits performed by their living relatives in their name, and could therefore pass on to better states of happiness. So you are born in the Peta rhyme, you are under this category when your related relative, when they transfer merit, idang menya tinang hotu, you can receive them. Then the last of the apaya rhyme, they are termed the demon rhyme, or asura yoni. The part of the asura, the place of the asura demons. Asura literally means those who do not shine and those who do not spot. They are also another plane of unhappy beings similar to Petas. They should be distinguished from the asuras who are opposed to the devas. So these asura, they are mainly predominated by anger, hatred. If you have a lot of this anger and hatred, chances of becoming demons, asura, is very high. Of course, animal is stupidity. But the greedy one, they will be born as pitas, or hell. Then you have combination of all. Chances is you go to hell. The hell being says all the evil roots. So you are a cultivator. You have very little or none of this greed, hatred, and delusion. You will not go down to the apaya rhyme. That's why they say, if you keep your five precepts, you are guaranteed minimum human rhyme. And some, if they aspire to be born in the deva rhymes, they will be born in the deva rhymes for many lives. You have generosity, parami, and also you keep your five precepts. Next to these four unhappy states, Dukkati, are the seven happy rhyme, Sukkati. So the word karma is sensual, K-A-M-A, this one, not K-A-R-M-A or K-A-M-M-A, K-A-M-A. So the Pali word karma means sensual. So sensual rhyme of happiness, or sensual rhyme of suffering, misery. So this next seven rhyme are the Kama Sukati. So they are the happy rhyme. So the first one is Manusa, which is our human rhyme. The human rhyme is a mixture of both pain and happiness. Bodhisattva prefer the human rhyme as it is the best field to serve the world and perfect the requisites of Buddhahood. Buddha are always born as human beings, because according to the Buddha, the human rhyme, their mind can go both ways to the two extremes. When you use it wrongly, it will bring you down very, very low. But you use it correctly, appropriately, it can give rise to Sammasambuddhahood. That's like the two extremes. Human rhyme are normally very fortunate rhyme. It's called Kama Sukkati. But without Dhamma, the human rhyme also is full of suffering. That's why for a lot of living beings, we may think we are lucky to be born human. Of course, we look at the four woeful rhyme, you are already so blessed, so lucky, but you don't appreciate your birth, you will fall. Because as human being, like the Buddha said, birth as a human being is very rare. And given a chance, you must make full use of it. If not, the moment you abuse it or neglect it, when you fall, it's very severe. But as human being, normally, if you have the Dhamma, you will not fall. But problem is, without the sasana, the human being are lost. That's why there is a lot of selfishness, born of self-delusion. Then they become violent, emotional, angry. Then through delusion, they develop fear, worry, anxiety. They attach sorrow and lamentation, all this. So the human rhyme without Dhamma is actually very, very vulnerable to suffering. But the human rhyme with Dhamma is one of the most beautiful things that living beings can ever ask for. Okay, up above, the six rhymes are all Deva rhymes. These Deva rhymes are very special. Chattu Maharajika Suta Tianwang, the four heavenly king, heavenly king of the four directions. So these are the Chattu Maharaja. They call it the what? Suta Tianwang. Sei Tai Kam Kong. Feng Tiao Yi Sun. So these are the name given to the four heavenly king. Sei Tai Tin Wong. They sing as six Sei Tai Tin Wong. The beings, the four type of beings. You go and order food, they say, Yao Mei Choi, Sei Tai Tin Wong. But these are the lowest Deva rhyme that are very close to the human rhyme. But if you were to, you may recall all this Chinese culture, they got movies showing this four. They are the one that is responsible according to them for the thunder, for the rain. And for the wind. Then last one is what? Lightning. Is it the lightning? Or the weather? They are supposed to be under their control. But some say water is the Dragon King. The Dragon King control the water. But not important. Most important is you have to understand that these are Deva rhymes. And they are the four kings of the four directions. Maybe during the time of the Buddha and until now, they must still be there. So the lowest of the heavenly rhyme, where the guardian deities or devas of the four quarters of the firmament resides with their followers. So these are the four, you call it, heavenly king. Then above them is Tavatinsa. Tavatinsa is a very beautiful Deva rhyme. It seems this is where the King Saka rule. King Saka is a Sotapan during the time of the Buddha. So by now, I don't know, maybe Anagami or Arahant already. He is so wise. Where he gets to witness the birth of the Buddha until he became a Samasambuddha. And he was so excited, he keep on coming down. That's why they got this Sakapanya there's a sutta on the King Saka. Sakapanya, if I'm not wrong. I cannot remember. It's a Pali one. So Tavatinsa is the 33 or celestial rhyme of the 33 gods. So it seems King Saka has 33 special gods in their rhyme. Where Deva Saka is the king, or King Saka. The origin of the name is attributed to a story which states that the three selfless volunteers led by Maha, another term for Sakha, having performed charitable deeds, were born in this heavenly realm. It is in this heaven that the Buddha taught the Abhidhamma to the devas for 3 months after the mother passed away. So he went up to the Tawatinsa, the Devarai, to teach the mother. And it seems during that time he teach them the Abhidhamma. Then one rhyme above is Yama. The rhyme of the Yama Devas, that which destroy pain is Yama. Then above that is Dusita Heaven. This one also a very special rhyme. Normally, the last birth of the Sammasambuddha, before he become a Sammasambuddha, they will take birth in the Dusita Heaven. Maitreya is there. Yes, Maitreya is there. So Dusita Heaven, these are the happy dwellers. It's the rhyme of delight. The Bodhisattva who have perfected the requisites of Buddhahood resides in this plane, mentioned, until the opportune moment comes for them to appear in the human realm to attain Buddhahood. The Bodhisattva Maitreya, the future Buddha, is at present residing in this realm, awaiting the right opportunity to be born as a human being and become a Buddha. The Bodhisattva's mother after death was born in this realm as a Deva god. From here, he repaired to Tawatinsa heaven to listen to the Abhidhamma taught by the Buddha. So the mother was actually born in Tusita heaven, but she descended down to Tawatinsa heaven to listen to the Dhamma. This number 6 one, you have to be careful. Number 6 and number 7. Nimana Rati, the rhyme of the devas who delights in the created mansion. This one can create things on, like magic, like that one. So you do energy field, one-pointedness, jhana, thought-based meditation, they will come and disturb you. These are your good friend. Then the 7th one also, Para Nimi Tavasavati. So the 6 is Nimana Rati. So this one is Para Nima. Well, difficult to pronounce. Para Nimita Vasavati. The rhyme of the Deva who make others' creations serve their own ends. These are actually Maras. The last 6 are the rhyme of the devas, whose physical form are more subtle and refined than the human rhyme, and are imperceptible to the naked eye. These celestial beings are subject to birth, as all mortals are. In some respect, such as their constitution, habitat, and food, they excel humans, but do not as a rule transcend them in wisdom. They have spontaneous birth, appearing like youth and maidens for 15 or 16 years of age. Means the moment they are born, they are already big already. No need to go through the embryonic 1 month, 2 months until they grow up. No need. Straight away, sweet 16. So the 6 celestial planes are temporary blissful abode where beings are supposed to live enjoying flirting pleasure of the senses. See? Flirting. Flirt means play with people's emotion. You flirt, you pretend to like wants to fall in love, but actually you are flirting with them. But this is flitting, not lasting. So fleeting pleasure of the senses. Then the four unhappy rhymes are the Dukkati, and the seven happy rhymes are Sukkati, are collectively termed Kamaloka, the sensual rhyme. Superior to the sensual plane are the Brahma rhyme or Rupa Loka, rhyme of form, where beings delight in the jhanic bliss. All these have the first to fourth jhana, achieved by renouncing sensual desire. So Rupa Loka consists of 16 rhymes according to the jhana or ecstasies cultivated. They are as follow. The rhyme of the Brahma Reticule, Brahma Parisaja, Brahma Purohita, the rhyme of the Brahma's Mister, ministers. Then Maha Brahmaha, this one hitting his god. This is the rhyme where the king of this Maha Brahma, the Buddha, went up there to preach to him. So finally only he came to know that he is not the creator. That's why in India, a lot of people who worship Maha Brahma, they think he is God. Because to him, he cannot see higher than him. Then he saw all this creation come from him. So he thought he is God, you see. The rhyme of the great Brahma. The highest of the first three is Maha Brahma. So it is called because the dweller in this rhyme excel others in happiness, beauty, and age limit owing to their intrinsic merits of their mental development. The plane of the second jhana. That one is the fourth one. Just now the first three is the first jhana. The rhyme of the mirror luster, Paritaba, then Apamadaba, the rhyme of infinite luster, then Abhasara, the rhyme of the radiant Brahma. Then the plane of the third jhana, they are the seven Brahma rhyme, Paritasubha, the rhyme of Brahma, Sampaina Aura. Then the eighth Brahma rhyme, Apamanusubha, the rhyme of the Brahma of infinite Aura. Then the ninth Brahma rhyme, Subha Kinha, the rhyme of the Brahma of steady Aura. Then you have the fourth jhana, the plane of the fourth jhana. So the tenth rhyme is Vihapala, the rhyme of the Brahmas of great reward. Then you got the Asanya Satta, rhyme of mindless being. This one don't have being, don't have mind on. So I don't know what they do up there. No one give mind. They don't have mind. Suttavasa, the 12 Brahma line, the pure abode, which further subdivide into 5. So this one is the Aviha, durable rhyme, serene rhyme, Atapa, Sudasa rhyme, the beautiful rhyme. Then Sudasi, the clear sighted rhyme. Then you got the Akanita, the highest rhyme. So these are the pure abode, the 5. Right, it says anagami are born there. Only those who have cultivated their jhanas or ecstasy are born in this higher plane. Those who have developed the first jhana are born in the first plane. Those who have developed the second and third jhana are born in the second plane. Those who have developed the fourth jhana and the fifth jhana are born in the third and fourth plane, respectively. Okay, the first grade of each plane is assigned to those who have developed the jhana to an extraordinary degree, the second to those who have developed the jhana to a greater extent, and the third to those who have gained a complete mastery over the jhana. In the 11th plane called the Asanasatta, beings are born without a consciousness. Here only a material flux exists. Mind is temporarily suspended while the force of the jhana lasts. Normally, both mind and matter are inseparable, but the power of meditation by the power of meditation, it is possible at times to separate mental from mind. As in this particular case, when an arahant attains Nirodha Sahampati 2, his consciousness ceases to exist temporarily. Such a state is almost inconceivable to us, but there may be inconceivable things which are actual facts. So what happens is, when you go into very strong absorption, especially absorption meditation, your mind really blank, totally nothing inside. But that is not Nirodha, no. That is not cessation. That is not Nibbana. But they give it another name. These are very, very still type of Sahampati. Means cessation Sahampati, Nirodha Sahampati. They call it by that name. So these mindless beings, it seems, they believe they went into that meditative state, then completely blank. Nothing, no thought, nothing at all. But that is not Nibbana. Well, last time when I did the continuous mindfulness when I was in my university day, especially after that first day when I was there in the first year, after I went into that 4-hour meditation, then I was so still and so calm for so long. Then I keep on meditating that time. That's why on many occasions I went into this state like completely blank inside there. Nothing at all. No mind, nothing at all. Cannot move. But it's very calming, very still. Then the whole mind, like I told you, in the heart there, like a cylinder of energy, very still. Nothing can disturb you at all. But when you come out, you become conscious again. But not important. If you got condition, you want to try it, you can try it, no harm. You can go into absorption or one-pointedness if you have the condition or the past. But remember, don't get attached. You have to release it out. Otherwise, you get trapped inside there. These are called defilements of insight. Okay, next page. Oh, Rina, you need to let me know what time, because that clock is out. What's the time now? 9:45. Okay, good. So we still got quite a bit of time. Well, today we cover quite fast. The Sudavasa of pure effort are the exclusive planes of anagami, see, the non-returner. Ordinary beings are not born in this state. Those who attain anagami in other planes are reborn in the pure abode. Later, they attain arahantship and live in those planes until their lifetime ends. There are 4 other planes called arupa loka, which are totally devoid of matter or bodies. Means no physical. They are the formless rhyme. Buddhists maintain that there are rhymes where mind alone exists without matter, just as it is possible for an iron bar to be suspended in the air because it has been flung there, and it remains as long as it retains any unexpanded momentum. Even as the formless being appear through being flung into that state by powerful mind force, there it remains till that momentum is expanded. This is the temporary separation of mind and matter, which normally coexist. But actually, here what is described, it is not correct. Because that arupa, actually when your mandate mind collapses, you have this formless consciousness, arupa thought process movement, no image, nothing inside that. is like formless one. That's why the mind become very fine. The mind become very fine, like no mind inside. That's why these are called formless consciousness. It's arupa. Actually, they exist as this type. Only this one without the form. That's why you can't blame why Alara and Udaka, you remember? The two teachers of the Buddha. You can't blame them actually for thinking that that is the highest right. You know why not? Because without body, you won't get sick, won't get old, and won't die. Correct not? So to them, that is eternal life, you know. That's why you cannot blame them. Because they live so long. How did they know that you will fall and finally, after a long period of time? Because the highest one, I think, is, if I'm not wrong, 80,000 Mahakapa. And one Mahakapa is one great aeon. One Asankaya Kapa is one aeon. And so, four Asankaya Kapa is one Mahakapa. And he's 80,000 up there. You know, he lives so long. That's why he never know that he will die or he will fall down. And the Mahabrahma, he actually was from the formless realm. You know, that he keep on dropping until the third Brahma realm, Mahabrahma. So the Buddha went up and actually try to advise him, you continue to think like that, sooner or later you will fall down to the deva, right? Then human, right? After that you go down to the hell, right? That's why he finally really, really believed the Buddha and he determined to cultivate. Yeah, can? Use the mic. Yeah, you got any question, you just put up your hand. Yes. Push it out. No battery, Oh, that day at the thing on, ayo. Wait. We need to use it. Oh. Ayo. That day the battery got put back on. Wait,
my question is, for those who have taken the Bodhisattva vow, if they are born in all this abode, will they continue to cultivate?
Testing, 1, 2, 3, good. You mean they are born in which rite? Pure abode or the formless rhyme.
The formless rhyme.
Normally Bodhisattva don't go and take birth there because they know. They like to go down to the human rhyme and the hell rhyme. That's why a lot of work to do. Earthstore Bodhisattva, he like the hell. He said not until the hell is empty of hell being, he vow not to become a Sammasambuddha. So sometimes, some of these Bodhisattva, they have their unique way of going about doing their things. But most of them will be born as humans. Then they will try to like develop understanding through taking birth as animals, sometimes even as demons. But during the Buddha's time, he spoke a lot of Jataka story where he took birth as animals. But he is always the leader of the herd, don't know, when he takes birth as animal, like the deer and all those things, the elephant. So he is always the head, like the leader. But don't worry, the moment you have this stability of cultivation, when you take the Bodhisattva vow, you will know what to do. Because that vow, the four basic vow, is very powerful. Especially the second vow and the third vow. The second vow is to endure and severe all suffering. So how to endure and how to severe? The most severe one is hell rhyme. So sometimes you don't have to become a hell being to go down. Like Mongalana, they can go down without being a hell being. So sometimes it's how you look at it. So they make aspiration and determination, because they want to understand. So they will take birth and they will have the ability to go down. Then sometimes they also take birth as animals. Then they can understand the state of mind of animals. So a lot of this you will come to understand later as you walk this path. Because these are the very unique, what they call, features of Bodhisattvas. Then by the time you have done a lot of all this cultivation and understanding, then most of the time you are within the human realm. You come to the human realm. But the human realm got two extremes. And the human realm is the best realm in the sense that once you come, you will have the condition to help some, or if not, if you are Sammasambuddha, then you can help a lot. But if, let's say, you are not a Sammasambuddha yet, you don't have the sasana, but at least you will touch the heart of those who come to you. But these are very powerful teaching. The moment they receive, then if they can continue this way of cultivation and practice, then they become Bodhisattva. Then from there, they will actually teach a lot more. Then it will multiply. Its effect is very, very great. And you cannot understand the extent of Bodhisattvas. Well, from one, it becomes infinity. Well, that one can actually keep on coming and touch the heart of so many. Then as you walk this path for eons and eons and eons, you will touch many. That's why the Bodhisattva are also countless, limitless. The Buddha are also countless and limitless. So, but there is a lot of work to be done. Their nature, although so many, but those who are born evil is so much more. Although we say the number is a lot, but compared to them, we are negligible. That's why I keep on telling you, if we can get 1% who has the Dhamma, our planet will be very beautiful. But it's not easy to get 1%, because at the moment I think it's 0.00001. A lot of zero before that one come out. So it's very rare. I think at the moment, I think maybe only those who have the Dhamma, I think 1 in 100,000. It's about that number. Every 100,000 you find one who has the Dhamma. And these are not Bodhisattva yet. Just have the Dhamma. Means at least you have developed the understanding of the Dhamma. Means at least you are Sotapanna or whatever. But as you develop the understanding of the Dhamma, your mind becomes different. And it transforms the cultivator, that form of mind. Then the trouble with this cultivation is, after that form of mind separate, or you call Daya, the next rebirth, you don't know where you go. And even if you are lucky to be born a human again, you have to learn all this again. That's why it's very difficult. And by the time you connect and have the condition to continue to cultivate and understand all this, chances are you already very old. Understand? Not much time left. Just like this life. Like Tammy one also very rare. We are so young, look for Dhamma. Most of us, I also look for Dhamma very young. Because of my past. Immediately from 4, from 5, I restart the search. Then when I young, I very quiet, I like to look at the sky. Then even when I study or in the uni, the mind probe. And they know one very funny. I like to sit alone, silent my mind. Well, that time I already know how to meditate. That's why all these classmates of mine, especially the ladies, they were no one, that one monk with her, you know. So they all also end up. Well, every time they talk to me, I talk a little bit. Then after that, the topic become different, not interesting, not like what they want. What I like to discuss is different from them. I'm more technical and more intuitive and towards the meditative side, the religious understanding. But they don't like this type of thing. They like relationship. They like all the hot stuff. So they like music and all those things. I cannot. I got some talent in music, but I only like to play the instrument. I can blow the flute quite well. My harmonica also quite good. Then I can play the drum also. Hey, my drummer, I joined the school band now. I was the first special, and I play the side drum. Hey, my drum very good. I can really roll the drum. Then ta ta. Ta 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 ta. The rolling of the drum was really good. That drumstick you give to me, I really can play. Oh no, that one is the drum major. The drum major got that one, the long one. Ours is the drumstick. The drumstick about 15 inch long. Then the head is bigger. Is round, then smaller, smaller, then at the tip again a small round fellow. But that one, when it hit the drum, it vibrates. Then I can roll over here. But I don't play the bulang sai. That one I cannot. That one need a lot of strength. That one need to hit. That one you must have physical strength. Yeah, any more questions? Have we finished? Yes, almost. Isn't it? Yeah? We did until the formless rhyme. Isn't it? Oh, okay, I finish off. Then we can have Q&A. So just what I wanted to explain was you cannot blame Alara and Udaka, because to them, they thought without the physical form, you won't get sick, you won't get old, and you won't die. Isn't it? So that is eternal life. So what else you want? That is what eternal life is. But the Buddha, somehow because of his perfection and cultivation, he knew, you know, that one is not the ultimate. Because the two teachers tell him, after you die from this human life, you take birth up there, your problem solved. You understand? But he said, no. This life, my problem not solved. That's why he knew. He wants his problem to be solved even this life before he take that birth up there. But he also went through all the jhana and he knows he will take that birth. But because of his past perfection, he knew this is not the ultimate salvation. Yes. Wait. Yeah.
If you take higher rebirth, without the form, less problem, is it easier to practice without the form?
No. It's a very good question. I will explain to you. The first part is correct. The first part, without the form, no suffering. Like the devas, I tell you, they really enjoy life. Because they don't have a physical body like us, no, having problem. But before they die, they are coming forth about to be over, suffer like anything. They start to sweat. No, the deva still got form. The deva still got very fine, translucent form. And when they are about to die, they start to sweat. They lose their radiance. Then they lose their, what they call, they got a lot of this nice fragrance on. That's why deva, you want them to come, you have to put a lot of what they call perfume. Otherwise they say, the human right, to them smelly. We are very smelly to them. That's why you need a lot of perfume. Otherwise they cannot come down. They say, these people like didn't take baths also. No? But they are born with the fragrance. No? That's why when they come down, wow, their fragrance are really very strong. So when they are still in their karmic prime, they will be enjoying life. That's why they will not cultivate. That's why you are saying without the body, easier to cultivate. So what you may think is you sit no pain, understand? But they are enjoying life without pain, without sickness. You think they want to meditate? Meditate for what? Celestial music, celestial mansion, all everywhere. You are really enjoying life. And the joy way beyond the human realm, understand? Even we have ticket to indulgence, that type of indulgence and happiness and joy, compared to up there, nowhere. The earth is a lot more blissful, you know. See. But it's not this. Because when I was doing the cultivation in the early years, when my mind become different, transform the vibration change during the meditation, then I went through this rhyme, no? That's why I say you will breeze through. So this meditative mind, where it's at that vibration, then it like breeze through this rhyme. Then during certain period of my meditation, I went through this rhyme. Then I saw all these devas. But they are exactly like what the what they call the Buddhist book. I don't know whether it's Sri Lanka or India on the table, where you see a lot of deva from the sky there congregate on top of the sky. Then the Buddha or somebody preaching down there, then all these come. Then you see them draw one circle like that up there. True. But not that they assemble, no. They come very fast, they disperse very fast. I saw. Wow, they come, here already. Then after, gone already. There's some higher rhyme one, I remember. They move in pair. Translucent body, got light one, radiant. Then you will go through. I think I went through quite a number of these rhyme. Then I saw the one, the most beautiful one, the bright shining purple blue and very translucent one, very fine. That's how you will go through. Then the mind state is different. But the Brahma rhyme, I cannot go because I don't develop the type of jhana. Then the formless rhyme, I know because when my mundane mind collapsed, I know that one. Then also when I was in my... No. Above the Brahma, the four formless rhyme. The Brahma rhyme are form rhyme. You need the form to go into concentration, one-pointedness, absorption. But what I did was I went to the formless rhyme when I heard the Dhamma talk first day at the university, you remember? I sat 4 hours. Then he asked me to look inside. So I looked inside. Then I got nothing to do. Just inside there, like pitch dark, very quiet, very still. Then suddenly I saw a white point, bright point. Then I was curious. That time I don't know how to meditate. So I give it a focus. And it went in a zoom. I went into another rhyme. Then it's like my mind traveling into infinite space. That's why it was the first formless rhyme of infinite space. It went up. like a spaceship like that, traveling into the infinite space. No? Then after a while, to me it's not long, very short moment, right? Then I decide to let it withdraw. It's just like a very small spaceship like that, going into the infinite space. Then later on, I let it withdraw. The moment I withdraw, I come back to consciousness. Then I finish my meditation. So I thought maximum half an hour. But I look at my watch, 4 hours has gone. I set at 12 midnight. By the time I finish, I look at the watch, 4 a.m. And the whole day, no need to sleep. I was so still, so calm for almost a week. Yeah. Then I thought that was meditation, because I never did that before. Oh. But before I went to you, because I am a science student, my maths and science are very good. I can concentrate on a subject that I like. My mind is very clear one. I can study non-stop. I can focus on things. And I can really concentrate on things. But not the one-pointedness. Means the thing I like, I can really think deep into it. Like maths, I can solve the problem. Or science, physics and all that. I can really, really whole day sit there and just do this. And not tire. At the most, I go and eat some food. But very hungry that time. I think use a lot of thought. Analytical. So, during those moments, you have this special ability to do all this is because it's the training for my past. That's why when I came as a child, as a kid, I got no thought on nothing. And I can learn things very fast. The moment I understand, I move way beyond the people of my same batch or class. But before I know things, they can laugh at me. But the moment I know, it's just like the one I last in the class. All the tense of it is zero. I don't know English. I went to an English school. Everything was taught in English. So what happened was, the moment I understand the language, standard 3 onward, I did very well already. Then standard 2, because arithmetic I very good. I play card, I don't need to count. 3 card, I know how many points already. Then 2 card, want to wait for the 3rd card, I know what 3rd card I want on. So, it's like automatic one, the counting. Especially the 52 card pack on. The whole combination, any combination also, I know the how many points you have. No need to count. So, because of that, you have this ability to actually... The whole aromatic paper is supposed to be half an hour to finish, you know. Within less than 5 minutes, I finish and I submit to the teacher. The teacher look at me, you know. Finish? Yeah, finish. He was so surprised, you know. Everything was correct, 100 marks. That's why I was very good in maths and science, but my language cannot. Language, Chekai. Chekai, my language. Yeah, I don't like language, I don't know why. But later on, I realized language is very important. Actually, without language, you cannot communicate. And there's a lot of things you cannot really do. You have to express yourself to actually deliver your message. And realize you need language. Okay, I will finish it off a bit more. Page 43. No. Page 444 already. Okay. So there are 4 other rhymes called Arupaloka, which are totally devoid of matter or body. Buddhists maintain that there are rhymes where mind alone exists without matter. Actually, this one we have read through. His analogy is wrong. He said like iron rod or steel bar. You throw very fast the momentum, keep it suspended in the air. So he thought formless rhyme is like that. No, formless rhyme is your mind has become so fine, then because of that, what they call jhana state that went in, they don't need the body to exist. That's why when they take birth, because of that, the formless state of mind that they develop with that type of formless jhana, they will have the ability to take birth there without the form. But it doesn't mean you will be there for eternity. You live very long. Even the, I think, the lowest one, the infinite space. Infinite space, that one also, I cannot remember. Also don't know how many Mahakapa one, very long one, they live very long. Okay, I read on. It should be mentioned that there is no sex distinction in the Rupa Loka and the Arupa. So there is no such thing as male and female. The Arupa Loka is divided into four planes according to the Arupa Jhana. So the first one is Akasana. Oh, this is very difficult to pronounce. Akasanya Sanan Jayatana. The sphere of conception of infinite space. Then second one is Vijnanam Cha Yatana, the sense sphere of the sphere of conception of infinite consciousness. Then the third one is the rhyme of nothingness. This one is nothingness. The sphere of nothingness. Then the last one is neither perception nor non-perception. So these are the last of the Arupa Jhana. So the Alara and Yudaka, the two teachers of the Buddha, they reach this last two rhyme. The rhyme of nothingness. They said to them, everything is like, the whole mind like empty, nothing inside there. Then the last rhyme is even more subtle. There is a rhyme they call neither perception nor non-perception. It means you don't know whether it perceives or it doesn't perceive. So that rhyme is very, very fine, but it's a formless rhyme. It should be remarked that the Buddha did not attempt to expound any cosmological theory. The essence of the Buddha's teaching is not affected by the existence or non-existence of this plane. No one is bound to believe anything if it does not appear to his reason, nor is it proper to reject anything because it cannot be perceived by one's mind knowledge. So this one is the author's view. But actually all this can be understood through the meditative experience. If you really meditate, you can go through a lot of this. But to do the jhana, you must go into the jhana. That one I never do. Okay. The next chapter is chapter 28. How rebirth take place. Okay, we stop here. You got any question? Or anything you want to discuss? I think we will be finishing quite soon. Well, the rest of the topic is just for info. Knowledge, more of knowledge. It's like a discussion topic and all those things. And towards the later part, maybe the Bodhisattva ideal. Yeah, I talk about the that one may be more interesting. The Bodhisattva ideal is chapter 40. So that one, the 10 perfection, I think, we'll also discuss. So the 10 perfection, Oh, then the chapter 44 is problems of life. So the problem of life, chapter 44, is quite interesting, page 659. He says, who, when, whither, why, what, are some important problems that affect all of humanity. Who is the man, is our first question. He never asks who is lady, always man. Let us proceed with what is self-evident and perceptible to all. So they also try to develop the understanding. Okay, any questions or anything you want to discuss? any discussion topic regarding 31 plane of existence and rebirth, or anything that you want to know about the Buddha Dhamma, you can maybe suggest a topic so that we can discuss. The new book, you must go and read, The Heart and the Mind. That is a very good book, I tell you. Ah, there. Here, got one back just arrived. Who don't have can collect. The blue book, The Heart and the Mind. Understanding the Heart and the Mind. This one we go through at the retreat, you remember? At the retreat, some of them really love it. They were so beautiful. Oh, you went back earlier. Did your mother tell you? Yeah, you all miss a lot. The sharing was very good. And towards the end, a lot of things happened. But no problem, Tammy. You all did a good session too, the beginning one. Beginning one is more of the teaching. Teaching. Then, before you all leave, there was no sharing by others. By the three of you. But Lei Hong very smart, no? You know what Lei Hong say, no? He came and appealed to me, you know. He said, Pratyo, I want the sharing to be done today. Well, that was the second last day. But they are leaving the next morning. Oh, he said, do it today. He said, I want to listen to other sharing. I don't want to just give and chow. So she very lucky, you know, because she requested that. Wow, a lot of very good sharing. So, no problem, you go and listen to the recording. What's the time now? Another 10 minutes, isn't it? Who? Adelina? Pass the mic to Adelina. Well, I got people nominate, like Nobel Prize nominee. Anything after you, Wow, Alicia very quick, Wow, he and Christy together. Oh, so your daughter is putting you up on the stage. But no problem. Adeline got a lot of things. If she want to share, there's a lot to share. But she actually improved a lot. She can understand very deep Dhamma now. Yeah, the mic is in front of you. Anything that come to mind, push it all the way out. Yeah.
Recall back when I was in the retreat.
Yeah.
Recall back my first retreat there.
Yeah.
Remember the message I got from Vairojana?
Correct.
Kong.
Yeah.
So at the first retreat, my understanding is actually just don't think anything.
Yeah, don't think.
So Kong, when meditation, so I just put my no thoughts.
Yeah.
Just no thoughts.
Yeah, relax, silent.
So after that, the all the Dhamma came,
all come. Start to understand. Then every time I share, it's so different. Before that, he know me long time ago, the Saturday class. But he say, that retreat, everything becomes so different. But the sharing all becomes so clear. Then the Buddha Dhamma all like fall into place. Because of the mind that has starts to develop the ability to be silent. That's why Kong, then at the retreat, condition was very conducive. Then he keep on understanding. But the first year, she already absorbed quite a lot, but she thought she already had to go. The second year, even more. Transformed a lot more. Then, of course, the third year is this year. This year is totally different again. But the thing that started the movement was the daily mindfulness. Then she determined to have the daily mindfulness. Okay, now, your own words, you tell them.
Then after that, the second year, the understanding about Kong is different again.
Different
it's about
again.
Something like a no ma.
Yeah, no ma condition, condition and arising, dependent, originating, and all those things.
And no dwelling mind. So then third years, the understanding is different again.
Different
the emptiness
again.
Form. Form is empty, you know.
Actually same, but people differentiate. Because before you have, you don't have. So the empty space, before the form went in, was empty. Then the form went in. So the form and emptiness is one. You understand? You understand? Because before the form went in, it was emptiness. Then when the form went in and occupied the empty space, form is actually within the empty space. You understand? That's why form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. But here you don't see. You only see that thing. But before that, it was the void. You understand? So the nature is also same. Before the nature arrived, there was nothing. That's why Huineng say, originally there was nothing. Where can the dust arise? So from here, everything come. From here, everything return. So when the fifth patriarch told him about the Diamond Sutta, you know what was his very, very beautiful opening statement. He said, how amazing is it that the self nature is already complete by itself. How amazing is that all Dhamma arise from the self nature and nothing is apart from the self nature. That's why the understanding was so beautiful. Then after that, when the statement was mentioned, this mind, you must know how to use it and yet not be deluded by it. That one very important. You have a mind, can be the mundane mind or the super mundane mind, where he was born without a mundane mind. So what he's trying to tell Huineng, the sixth patriarch, is your super mundane mind. So for normal human beings, your mundane mind, you must know how to use it and yet not be deceived and deluded by it. Because that one, the mundane mind, is the dependent originating mind. But you need it to use to live life, because there is a duty, and you can use it to serve you, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. That's why when you have this understanding, then your mind becomes different, beautiful. Then you understand the condition and the unconditioned. That's how you can fit into both. That's how you will never suffer. But yet you can be loving, compassionate, full of understanding, and you can live like a normal human being, but with the wisdom and the understanding connected to it. That's why that one is no longer deluded. That one will never have any suffering, misery, or unhappy state of mind. And that mind is the most beautiful. That is what fifth patriarch meant. That Huineng straight away understood. This mind, you have to learn how to use it and yet not be deluded or deceived by it. That is the ultimate wisdom. That's why all this you will start to understand. Continue. I'll finish. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. What is the actual time actually? Well, that one is late a bit, isn't it? 3 minutes late. Fast. 3 minutes to ten. So correct. Oh, the time is correct. So the clock is correct. Oh, I thought like this one. This one something long and stop already. This one is still six something. Okay. If there is nothing else, then we can stop. We can share merit, then we can end. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness. Oh, okay. My wife want to add in the blessing for the country and the nation. Okay. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana itta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me yatinang hotu sukhita hontu jatayo idang me yatinang hotu sukhita hontu jatayo devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hito ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Why exactly then 30? Sadhu. So this one like what the Buddha say, both end together. The Dhamma and the clock mesh. So this is the most beautiful completion. Like your life force, karmic force, and the lifespan of the human form together. So that one normally is either 100 years old or 108 years old. Or she in 120. Okay. So you can pay respect, then we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.